You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Our frequency celebrates diversity. For a full program schedule, go online to ckuw.ca to listen more.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we meet the legendary Dr. Lynn Rogers from the North American Bear Center, a research facility and rescue center in Ely, Minnesota. Dr. Rogers is known for his Think Like a Bear research studies, which enabled him to establish trust with a pack of bears. He was able to enter their dens and spend hours by their sides. We learn the facts about bears and what to do if we see one in the wild, and how they communicate their anxiety and fear. This episode is mixed with Barry-inspired music. Stick with us for the Children's Hour, coming right up. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What's a bear's favorite ice cream?
I don't know.
What?
Strawberry.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
To the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock, their mommies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. Thank you. better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there together, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
That's Jerry Garcia and David Grisman from their Not Just for Kids Only. I'm Katie Stone. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and I'm here with a whole lot of great kids online right now. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hi, it's Kodiak.
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Wayman.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Kybia.
Hi, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Max.
Hi, it's Killian.
Well, everyone, I am so excited to be with you today on the Children's Hour, because today we're going to learn about one of my favorite types of animals of all. And I say types of animals because there's lots of this animal, lots of different breeds and varieties. I'm talking about bears. I know we have Kodiak here. You're named after a bear. Is that because you love bears?
I think I was named before I really knew if I loved bears or not.
That's fair.
No, it's not fair. It's bear.
Oh! That was good. Is anyone else tied to bears, loves bears, have a relationship with bears? Yeah, Raymond.
A little.
A little? Tell us about it.
I like bears.
I like bears too.
Well, they're definitely my favorite meat eaters.
Meat eaters. Well, we're going to learn about that. Like, are bears only meat eaters? Are they even meat eaters? I mean, I think maybe, yeah, they eat fish. Nathaniel.
I think bears are kind of scary. They live oftentimes kind of close to human settlements, and I feel like that can be a little intimidating.
Yeah, because I think we think of them as these kind of like big, untrained, scary, furry, almost like dogs in a way, but they're like way bigger, and they have these big snouts and big teeth, and they do roar, which is always a scary thing. Anyone else have a relationship with bears?
I like bears.
You like bears? Tell us about it.
Well, I think they're kind of like just big, furry hamster. And that's why I think they're very cute.
Aww. They are so cute. And so many of us were given teddy bears as little kids, like when we were first born. And I bet a lot of people in our listening audience have teddy bears too. Well, stick with us on the Children's Hour. We're going to meet somebody who has dedicated his life to understanding bears. His name is Dr. Lynn Rogers. He's from the North American Bear Center in Ely, Minnesota. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
He goes wah 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 waltzing, waltzing with bears. Braggy bears, baggy bears, shaggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah wah waltzing. He can go waltzing with bears. I went to his room in the middle of the night. I crept to his side and I turned on the light. To my surprise, he was nowhere in sight. 'Cause my Uncle Walter goes waltzing at night. He goes wah, 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 waltzing, waltzing with bears. Braggy bears, baggy bears, shaggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah, 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 waltzing. He can go waltzing with bears. We gave Uncle Walter a new coat to wear, but when he came home, it was covered with hair. And lately I've noticed several new tears. I'm sure Uncle Walter's been waltzing with bears. He goes wah, 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 waltzing, waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, baggy bears, shaggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing master that he should be good and do all the things we said that he should. But I know he would rather be off in the woods. I'm afraid we'll lose Uncle Walter for good. He goes wah 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 waltzing, waltzing with bears. Braggy bears, baggy bears, shaggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah 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 waltzing. He can go waltzing, go waltzing with bears. We begged and we pleaded, to keep him home for a day, but the bears all barged in and they dragged him away. Now he's dancing with pandas, he won't understand us. The bears all demand at least one dance a day. He goes wah 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 waltzing, waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, baggy bears, shaggy bears too. There's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing, wah 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 waltzing. He can go waltzing, go waltzing with me.
That's Bayou Seiko out of Silver City, New Mexico. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and delighted to be with all of you out in listener land and everyone here on Zoom who's on the kids crew. And today we have a very exciting show because we're learning about bears. Our guest is Dr. Lynn Rogers. Dr. Rogers is a biologist, and he studies black bears, and he's known as the Jane Goodall of bears. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Can you hug bears like Jane Goodall?
I started out afraid of bears. I grew up afraid of them. Everything I heard about them sounded dangerous. But then as I got studying them, eventually, I realized they're not as bad as I thought.
Not as scary, huh?
Right. Well, I'd see them acting blustery, like they were going to do something bad, but I never saw them follow through. Maybe they'd lunge at me and slap the ground and blow. And I thought, boy, that looks scary. Does that mean he's warning me that he's going to attack? They never did. So eventually I realized, boy, I might be able to do what Jane Goodall did with chimpanzees. I might be able to walk with bears and really learn about them, because all the stuff I'd done before that was capture them, tranquilize them, put radio collars on them, get up an airplane, put dots on maps, see how they moved around. And I thought I knew a lot about bears. But when I really started learning is when I started to overcome my fear and could learn their language. And I had to adjust my thinking because I still had some fear. And it worked better if I would interpret their behavior in terms of their fear rather than my fear.
How many different types of bears are there, and where do they live around the world?
There's 8 kinds of bears, 3 of them in North America, the polar bear, the brown bear, also called the grizzly bear, and black bears. In Europe, they have brown bears. They're about the same species. And then there's the moon bear in Asia. There's the sun bear down in South America. And sloth bears in Asia.
Which are not related to sloths.
Right, yes, right.
They're a different critter. We certainly have a lot to learn. So to we start with, there's 8 kinds, and they're found really in a lot of parts of the world. And we're going to post a map of that so that you can see where they are. You can find that at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Bears.
Is it true that bears like honey, or is that just a big myth?
Yes, I've seen them eat honey, but when they get to a beehive, what they're really after is the young bees, and they'd rather have that with the protein and all than just the sugar in honey.
How do they catch the bees?
They find a beehive, they tear it open. Sometimes they have to use their teeth to get something apart. Sometimes they have to use their lips. But what they often do is just stick their tongue out and they curl the tip down, and that area of the tongue just above the tip, somehow, and I don't know how they do it, but somehow things stick to that. But when you touch the tongue, it's not sticky. There's still some mysteries about bears. Bears have enough fur. Most of the year, they have at least 2 inches, and when they really have big fur, it's like 4 or 5 inches deep. So it's hard for the bees to get down, but the bear is trying to get them with its mouth, and they have very short hair on the muzzle, so that's where they would get stung, and on the ears.
Do we consider bees meat? I think so, right? Like, so that's like not necessarily vegetarian.
Well, it depends on the kind of bear. Polar bears eat mostly meat. Black bears eat mostly vegetation, insects. Well, that's the kind of meat, but yeah, but it's berries, nuts are the big favorites.
You talked a little bit about the different types of bears, and there seem to be a huge variety. So what I'm wondering, what is a bear actually? What makes a bear a bear?
Bears are actually in the dog family, but dogs are more group-living animals, where bears are mostly solitary, and they're big, strong animals, all of them, and they're some of the smartest animals on the planet.
You're hearing from one of the world's foremost bear researchers. His name is Dr. Lynn Rogers. He is the founder of the North American Bear Center in Ely, Minnesota. And you're listening to the Children's Hour, where we're learning about bears. This is Lyle Lovett, right here on the Children's Hour.
Some folks say there ain't no bears in Arkansas. Some folks never seen a bear at all. Some folks say the bears go around eating babies raw. And some folks got a bear across the hall. Some folks say the bears go around smelling bad. Others say that a bear is a honey sweet. Some folks say this bear's the best I ever had. And some folks got a bear beneath their feet. Some folks drive the bears out of the wilderness. And some to see a bear will pay a fee. Me, I just bear up to my bewildered best. And some folks even see the bear in me. Out of the wilderness, some to see a bear would pay a fee. For me, I just bear up to my bewildered best. And some folks even seen a bear in me. They saw me to bear and take him on out to lunch with you. Even though your friends may stop and stare, just remember that's a bear there. Bunch with you, and they just don't come no better than a bear. I sold me to bear and take him on out to lunch with you. Even though your friends may stop and stare, I just remember that's a bear there and a bunch with you, and they just don't come no better than a bear. No, they just don't come no better than a bear.
to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Experience the magic of New Mexico's many cultural traditions at museums and historic sites statewide. More at nmculture.org/traditions. This is the Children's Hour. You just heard Black Bear by Black Bear. And we're thinking about bears because we're learning about bears. We're joined today by Lynn Rogers. Dr. Rogers is the director and founder of the North American Bear Center. It is in Ely, Minnesota. And he joins us from Ely. The kids have a lot of questions for you. Let's go over to Marcel.
How big are bears?
Well, the sun bear is the smallest bear. They'd be like 100 pounds. But black bears, the heaviest one on record is 902 pounds. But when I look at a bear, I'm not thinking really how big it is. I'm just thinking, what is its temperament? What is its personality? And is this the bear I can get to know? Because the way I do research, I started out by capturing bears, tranquilizing them so they wouldn't hurt me and they'd hold still, let me take measurements. I really wasn't learning a lot about what bears are really like.
So your interest was really like more into like their behavior and their lifestyle and things like that.
That's the stuff I had to learn to really know their ways and their needs. That's what I had to know if I could be close to a bear without getting hurt. As I got to know that they are not the dangerous animals I thought, that they can build trust. And once they trust you, they don't do their blustery, scary stuff. They just do that because they are feeling anxiety. And when they're not feeling anxiety anymore, they're just calm, and I can walk with them, spend the night with them right next to them, and never have to worry.
How old do bears typically live, and does that change a lot whether they're in captivity or not?
Well, yes, they have a better chance of living into their 30s if they're in captivity, but most of them die in their 20s. It just depends on so much. The fear of bears is so prominent that in many places, if people see a bear that has lost some fear of people, then they fear that here's a bear that would dare to attack and kill me. People feel way better if they see a bear running away.
Well, I mean, I have to admit, I've seen a bear in the wild, and I felt better when it ran away. I did, and I was scared when it was near me because there was a part of me instinctively, it felt like, that knew I should be careful.
Because they're powerful, and I think we have a natural fear of any animal that has bigger, more pointed teeth than we have.
That seems like a reasonable fear, you know, of animals with big teeth, you know?
That's an animal that could do some damage. But what I have done with bears, actually, is as I got to know them, and I started thinking about their behavior in terms of their fear rather than my fear. And if I'd see a bear jump towards me, slam its feet down and blow, look really scary, I'd say, "I'm sorry, bear. Here, let me lay down. Do you feel better now?" What I wanted to do for research is be trusted, like Jane Goodall was with the chimpanzees. So I would act in ways that would build trust, not build fear. Then I'd lay down, I'd throw food to them, I'd throw it closer and closer, and they dared to come closer if I was laying down. And as time went on, the bears that really trusted me would ignore me. They just go about their lives. That meant I could learn a lot. I could be with a mother with cubs in the woods. She wouldn't think about attacking me. He's just there. He's part of the woodwork. And as they grew to ignore me, then I could be right with them within touching distance. And then I could count how many bites they take of each food in each habitat, how they spend their time. I'd end up with 24 hours of complete data. What a bear does in a day, it just makes a person feel comfortable with a wild bear that trusts you. Now, not all bears can become trusting. I think about bear behavior, everything I say, like a bell-shaped curve.
So what that means is, like, most of the bears behave in this, like, in the center, like this, but some bears are a little one way and some bears are a little another way, just kind of like people.
I was wondering, so if you could have, like, a dog as a pet, could you have a bear as a pet?
Some people do. Actually, there's a time in their life when they decide what is good and bad around them. And that's between 6 and 12 weeks of age. That's when they're a little newborn cub in a den. And at 6 weeks, they start to open their eyes. At about 12 weeks, they leave the den. Well, during that 6-week period, they decide who's good and who's bad. And if you get a bear when it's that age, it will bond with you. After that, it's harder to get it to bond with you. That's why the bears that I walk with are not bonded with me. They just ignore me because I'm nothing to them.
It's probably terribly unkind to take a bear between 6 weeks and 12 weeks old. It's certainly not the life it would want. But when we have seen bears in places like circuses, that must be how they tamed them and trained them.
Bears that they want to train That's the 6 to 12 week period is when they bond with their owner, who is feeding them bottles and stuff to raise them so that they trust each other. And then as they get older and older, they train the bears using food. You get a treat if you do this.
Ah. Our guest is Dr. Lynn Rogers, and he has shown the world that bears are not as scary as we might think at first. We have a lot more questions for him and a lot more to learn about bears. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Stick with us.
If you care about bears, you should be aware there are 8 unique species to compare. Some are fairly common, some extremely rare. We have a few bear facts to share.
I'm talking about
polar bears, sun bears, moon bears, sloth bears, spectacled panda, brown bear, black bear. One thing in common, they love to eat. We've named all 8, now let's repeat. Polar bear, sun bear, moon bear, sloth bear, spectacled panda, brown bear, black bear. What makes a brown bear different from a black? Let's go down the list, share a few more facts. Polar bears are pigeon-toed, they walk on ice, blend in with the snow, but they're really not white. Their skin is black, their fur is clear, they come from the Arctic far away from here.
Sun bear.
Sun bears love to eat honey and bees. They climb through the trees like chimpanzees from Southeast Asia, smallest bear of all. Some people say that they look like dogs. Moon bears, also called Asian blacks. On the chest is a large light triangle patch. They live in trees throughout the year. They got a fluffy black collar and Mickey Mouse ears.
Sloth
bears. Black and shaggy with long white claws. People used to think they were related to sloths. Bulbous snout, tongue hanging to the ground. They suck up bugs with a slurping sound.
Spectacle bears.
Get their name from a pattern on their face. Only bear found in South America today. Build nest in trees by folding leaves. Mothers sing their cubs to sleep.
Pandas.
Panda bear has mysterious ways. They eat bamboo 12 hours a day. In an all-green forest, they're black and white. Didn't quite get the camouflage right. Even so, they're still hard to find. Their population is in decline. Trying to protect the remaining few, but they don't seem to like to have babies in zoos.
Brown bears.
Brown bears have a big hump on their back. Talk about the grizzly and the Kodiak. They're extremely fast, active after nightfall. Most widely distributed bear of all.
Black bears.
There are far more black bears than any other kind. Populated areas that don't seem to mind. Sometimes colored brown, cinnamon or white. Much more active by day than night. Polar bears, sun bears, moon bears, sloth bears, spectacle, panda, brown bear, black bear. One thing in common, they love to eat. We've named all 8, but no time to repeat. We're getting to the end, just about through. Hope you learned a little fact or two. Perhaps we're all a little more aware about the fascinating creatures that we call bears.
What about the gummy bear?
That's Key Wild and Mr. Clark. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest today is Dr. Lynn Rogers. He is a biologist who has spent his life studying bears. Kodiak.
Where do bears live?
It depends on what kind of bear it is. In North America, polar bears, of course, live up in the Arctic.
Do they make dens in the snow? Do they live in little snow dens?
Yep, right, they do. They find big piles of snow. They dig into them. They have their cubs in the winter. They snuggle the cubs to keep them warm.
Mm, and we think of bears as living in things like caves and holes they dig. That's how they live, right? Like when we see a cave, there very well could be a bear at the back of that
cave. Could be, yes. For black bears, they make any kind of den you could ever think of. Sometimes it's a burrow in the ground. Sometimes it's a hollow tree. Sometimes it's a big pile of grass that they raked up on the surface of the ground, usually where they can stay out of the wind. Yeah, it could be just about anything. Under somebody's porch.
Wow.
You've talked a little bit about how you've walked with bear and have fed them, but I don't think that's something lots of everyday people should do. So how should an everyday person act when they see a bear or they know they're in an area with bears?
Well, if a person wants to feel totally safe, I would carry a little can of Halt. That's a kind of pepper spray, but it's weaker than the usual pepper spray. Actually, I remember testing pepper spray, and they said, yeah, but how do you know whether a bear is not going to get mad and kill you? I said, I don't think it will. Well, nobody dared to test it, so I was the first one that tested pepper spray face-to-face with a bear without a fence between, with wild bears.
So we have you to thank for bear spray. That's pretty cool. You can learn more about what Dr. Rogers has written about this very topic. We've put links at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Bears.
What do black bears prefer to eat?
Actually, certain kinds of nuts are, I believe, their favorites. Hazelnuts, acorns, beech nuts, hickory nuts. They also like berries. But if those foods aren't available, like it was a frost or a drought and the berries didn't develop, then they're going to be eating more vegetation. And that would be like the nicest green young grasses where the nutrients are still in a fluid form and they're easy to digest.
But not fish.
Yes, they do. But when I have walked with bears that were in areas where they would be fishing, if there was a good berry crop back in the woods, they'd forget the fish and go back and eat berries.
Mm.
But on the other hand, brown bears get way bigger than grizzly bears because they have fish. And that's a nutritious food. They prefer the fish eggs. If there's a lot of fish, they'll catch a fish, they'll bite the brain and eat the eggs. They leave the rest. If there's not a lot of fish and they're hungry, well, they'll eat the whole fish.
What does a bear's fur feel like on different types?
So what do the different types of fur feel like? Are they really soft? I'm imagining them feel a little bit like a kitten in there.
It's not as fine a fur as a kitten. It's coarser fur and two types. There's the guard hairs, that's the big fur that you see. Then under that is the under fur, and that's much finer fur, more like cat fur. They grow the under fur to keep them warm in winter. Then in the spring, they lose the under fur, and eventually they shed the guard hairs and start with brand new hair coming out, making a nice, smooth look to their fur.
Oh, pandas bears?
Yes.
But they're not true bears.
Oh, they are, yeah. But they're the most vegetarian of the bears. They eat a lot of bamboo. I don't know any other bear that could survive like that.
That's the voice of Dr. Lynn Rogers. He's the founder and principal biologist at the North American Bear Center in Ely, Minnesota. We have more with Dr. Rogers coming up, and there are a lot of links posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Bears.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting The Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the New Mexico Children's Foundation.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for the Children's Hour.
That's not a bear, no, that's not a bear. It's a marsupial.
Yogi Bear.
That's a bear.
Teddy Bear.
That's a bear.
Pooh Bear.
That's a bear.
They're all bears. Fozzie Bear.
That's a bear.
Smokey Bear.
That's a bear.
Koala Bear.
It's not a bear. It's not a bear. No, that's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. No, that's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. No, that's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. That's not a bear. No, that's not a bear. It's a marsupial.
That's Not a Bear is Scott and Rosanna right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about what is a bear with Dr. Lynn Rogers. He's the founder and chief biologist over at the North American Bear Center located in Ely, Minnesota. And Dr. Rogers, you've used some pretty extraordinary methods to learn about bears. One of the things you're famous for is you put a live webcam in a bear cave while there was a bear in the bear cave. Was the bear in the bear cave when you did this?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
It was one of the most popular live cams ever. It changed the way people thought bears behaved from then on. People started to see bears and think they're the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but what happened was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. 2 days later, that bear was the number one search topic on Google in the world. And people pretty soon were in 132 countries watching the mother give birth and then watching her tenderly care for the cubs, watch her lick the amniotic fluids and tissues off the cub, tuck the cub underneath her to keep it warm, and they saw how tenderly the mother cared for bears, people started to think of these as more thinking animals than ferocious animals, and it changed a lot of opinions around the world.
Earlier you said that you knew that, like, a bear was a little bit annoyed with you when they made a blow chomp sound.
That was a bear expressing great anxiety. That was a bear that had just pounced to me, slammed its feet down, and clacked its jaws together. That's what that clacking was. That scared me for a long time because I thought, here it is showing me its big claws coming through the air and slamming down to the ground, showing how hard they could slam, lunging toward you, coming way too close to feel comfortable, you know, like 2-3 feet away. And then it blows, sounds ferocious, clacks its jaws, which I thought was demonstrating its weapons. But then I realized eventually that that was just expressing their own anxiety. So I would say, I'm sorry, bear, I'm scaring you. I'd lay down so I wouldn't be a threat. And then the bear would calm down.
This is the sound of a nursing bear.
Yeah, that's several cubs, probably three cubs all nursing at the same time.
They make that weird little sound, that weird little like...
Yeah. When I get to a den of a female in the winter, that's the sound I'm listening for. Does she have cubs?
Oh, interesting. So you can be outside the den. Can you hear this sound outside the den?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It carries for quite a ways.
Wow. This is tongue clicking. Are you sure that's not you playing ping pong?
No. That's what males sound like. When they're approaching a female, that sound means, I want to be near you.
I wanted to ask the kids, I'm going to play this next one. I just want to know, what emotion do you think the bear is trying to convey if you heard this?
That sounds kind of sad.
The situation of the morning sound was it was a mother that had three cubs. One was missing. And she's nursing the two cubs that she has, but she's making this morning sound, missing that cub. But then when she got reunited with that cub, she stopped saying it right away. And she was just happy to have the cub back. And I asked a class of kids in school once, what was that bear saying with that? And they said the bear was crying. And I thought, they got it right.
That sounds so sad. Dr. Rogers, it has been a pleasure to have you with us on the Children's Hour. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners about bears?
It was a pleasure with me, for me, too. I like talking about bears, and here's people that have thought and thought with good questions, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. We've got links and so much more posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Bears. This is Red Yarn.
Grizzly bear.
Right here on the Children's Hour.
Grizzly bear. Grizzly bear. Grizzly bear. Gonna tell you a little story about. Yeah, I started slowly creeping back. Yeah, I spun and tore off in a flash. Yeah. coming. You best be swiftly running. Climb a tree. Let him be.
Been listening to the Children's Hour, and we've been learning about bears today on the show. Our guest was Dr. Lynn Rogers from the North American Bear Center in Ely, Minnesota. The center is a unique place that is dedicated to teaching people all about bears, especially the black bears that are native to North America. The center is home to several rescued black bears to help educate visitors through live demonstrations and bear talks. And that helps people understand and appreciate bears and their role in nature. We've got links and photos and so much more information posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Bears. We have time for one more story song for you. This is Fred Small, and it's a story about Larry the polar bear. It's a true story, and I wonder if you were Larry the polar bear, what would you do? I'm Katie Stone. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour. Thanks for listening.
In 1932, at a zoo in Los Angeles, a polar bear named Larry performed for the crowd. They'd cheer aloud. He'd go slipping and sliding, jumping and diving. The people would laugh. They took his photograph. Larry was born at the zoo. Than Los Angeles, which is warmer than Alaska, where Larry's parents were born. Larry the polar bear, he'd never harm a hair on a child's head. He'd do tricks for them at the Los Angeles Zoo, as he'd been taught to by his keeper, Fran. Fran would teach him new tricks, a funny pose, scratching his nose. He knew there'd be a fish at the end. Fran was his friend. One day she said, Larry, you'll be in the movies with real movie stars and a few simple tricks and lots of fish, to be filmed on location in Alaska. And so they rehearsed for Larry's big scene. He was supposed to be mean and growl at a woman who was rescued by a man who scared him away. It was stupid, but fun to do. The director would frown and jump up and down, kind of like the chimps at the zoo. Larry the polar bear, he'd never harm a hair on a child's head. He'd do tricks for them at the Los Angeles Zoo, as he had been taught to by his keeper, Fran. At last came the day of the trip. They put Larry in a crate, 12 foot by 8, and he sailed aboard a steamship. The journey was long and boring. Fran would visit
she'd talk to him and bring him his favorite fish. Then the noise and the rumbling stopped, and they lowered him down, set the crate on the frozen ground, and opened it. Fran said, "Larry, we're here. It's time for your tricks." And Larry appeared. He looked out at the gray Bering Sea. He squinted and puzzled, put his nose to the wind, and the scent of the seal made him tremble. He smelled the fox in its lair, and the weasel and hare felt lichen and snow neath his paws. And he looked at the tundra and ice, looked at the loon in the sky, and he ran. Slowly at first, kind of lumbering, he ran, gathering speed, gathering memories from within. Old and dim, growing stronger, to swim, to dive, and to float with cold at his throat, with warm inside, neath the fur and hide. Ocean and ice all around him, he ran. He ran. He ran, and he swam.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with help from Dan Craker and Jackie Fulton, along with Daniel, our intern. Many thanks to the North American Bear Center and Dr. Lynn Rogers for being with us on the show today.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.